Welcome to another episode of the Forgotten Athlete Podcast. I'm here as your host, Joseph, here with Zach today. How's it going today?
Yeah, things are okay. Things are okay. The
Nice.
Timberwolves seem to be reeling right now, but we'll bounce back. I'm sure of it.
Yeah, that's it's been tricky for the T-Wolves because I think they got too comfortable. I really do. They came out lackadaisical the third game, and Denver just kind of caught them by storm, and then Anthony Edwards was the only player to show up yesterday in the game. It's tough. Tough. Rudy Gobert, he's a fraud. I don't care what his plus or minus were. He's just not a good player. When he plays against like superior talent, you can see that he's not a superior talent. Like same thing with Karl-Anthony Towns. Like it's like I was listening to I think it was Bill Simmons, and he was like, it's easy to average 25 points a game when you're going up against, mediocre teams, 60, 60 games out of the 82 game calendar. But like when you start playing those tough teams, that's where it gets difficult. So yeah, but today's topic is not gonna be basketball related, it's gonna be football. We're gonna talk about some good topics. I think this one's gonna be good. I think it's gonna add some live questions, kind of spinning off where we discussed from Caleb Williams yesterday, I guess last week. Shout out to all the new subscribers, by the way. Shout out to all the new viewers, the people who shared, people who supported the episode, as well as other ones. We appreciate it, and hopefully you keep on coming back. And hopefully we make content that makes you want to come back. Any suggestions, any questions that you guys have, like I said, as always, drop them in the chat. But let's get to our topic today, which is going to be about Brock Purdy. I said the other day that Brock Purdy was the top five quarterback. Zachary has a lot of pushback on it. And I'm double downing on that. And I'm making a prediction. Brock Purdy will be the highest paid quarterback next offseason in 2025, going into 2025, 2026 season. Kind of want to start off just, giving up my case for that real quick. First off, Brock Purdy has, excuse me, has won a division 2 years in a row at him. Secondly, he's made it to the NFC Championship game 2 years in a row. He's only been started twice, by the way. Thirdly, he made it to the Super Bowl this year, lost on the game-winning drive. Some people say it was his fault. Some other, would say that it's not. And then lastly, he had an all-pro season last year, and as well as him being a MVP candidate last year. So I know he wasn't all-pro technically. His stats did hold up to it though. And I think, and then going off of the news that we got today, which is Jared Goff being the second highest paid quarterback in the NFL, getting a $53 million a year extension, that also plays into it too, because Purdy just beat this guy in the AFC Championship game last year, came back from 17 down, and he's the second highest paid quarterback. So you mean to tell me that he can't get paid higher than that guy? And the guy that is in front of him, Joe Burrow. Oh yeah, Joe Burrow's. Look at Joe Burrow's resume. Two AFC Championship. Or sorry, yeah, two AFC Championship games. 1-1 in those. Kind of similar to Brock Purdy. So we kind of look at it from those type of angles. And when you see that quarterbacks in this market, they're not getting paid. Quarterbacks, to in my opinion, and correct me if I'm wrong, but quarterbacks are not getting paid based on how they're performing statistically, like in relation to like NBA contracts or like kind of like incentive based, how your stats are looking. With the NFL and specifically with the quarterback, it's how your team is doing and how you are helping your team succeed. And I think with all that being said, with all that in question, and just not even counting on what he's gonna do this year, just based upon what he's done already with his resume, I see no question that Purdy will be the highest paid quarterback next offseason.
You laid out a lot there in detail, Joseph.
Well, yeah, I mean, where do you want to start? I mean,
Well,
I'm just giving my case on why he is. You have already stated your opinion that you don't think that he's gonna he is deserving of that. So I'm just letting you know, like, hey, this is my case.
I just feel like if he does get the contract that you're suggesting, that he'll end up with. It's like a Carson Wentz situation, like for me, or it's like a Jared Goff situation when he was with the Rams, because the Rams paid Jared Goff because of similar things. He had gone to the Super Bowl. He really changed the narrative on Jared Goff. But I think the Rams recognized, hey, there's a ceiling here with this guy. And it went from, hey, we paid him, to, oh my gosh, this is a terrible contract in about a year. So I just think the Lions are going to end up there as well, because if you tell me that division, your what-if scenario last week based off, hey, the Caleb Williams can make the Super Bowl. If that happens, Jared Goff doesn't make the Super Bowl, so that makes the contract worse, in my opinion. The Packers, I think, are a team to beat in that division. And just talent-wise, if you watch him and Jordan Love, like, you can't tell me he's better than Jordan Love. So I'll take the Packers to beat him in that division as well.
Are we talking Jared Goff?
Jared Goff, yeah. I'm just saying, I think the Lions are going to regret this one. Like, because he's the second highest paid quarterback right now.
Yeah.
Only Burrow gets paid higher. I mean, I have my criticism of Joe Burrow, but even myself, I can acknowledge, hey, there's a huge difference between what Joe Burrow can do and what Jared Goff can do.
So what do you think, and we'll get back to the Purdy conversation, but I think this is kind of a summary question of all of it. What do teams do if you find your guy, you're making it to the playoffs consistently, you just won your division the first time in 30 years, like what are the Lions supposed to do here? Are they supposed to say, hey, Goff, we want you to prove it again to us? What would you do if you're in their shoes?
I would hope I have a relationship where he understands, you have a ceiling, sir. You're not Joe Burrow. You're not tier one of the quarterbacks. You're down tier four or five with Dak Prescott's and, like, you know, that group, Kirk Cousins. Like, he's that group. Can he be the best quarterback? I told you, that group is fine. It's not like I'm saying, hey, you shouldn't get paid.
That tier B group, you said.
But they can be the best quarterback on any given Sunday. I'll acknowledge that. Like, Jared Goff can outplay Patrick Mahomes, right? Like, we saw week one last year. Like, I can acknowledge that he is able to do that. Now, the problem comes, I think, when you get to those tier one guys like a Burrow, Josh Allen, Mahomes, Lamar, I think those guys are the best quarterback in the NFL half the football games they play in or more. Yeah, I think, like, for that, the NFL should acknowledge, hey, there's a discrepancy. Like, because we don't want to end up like the NBA where, you know, Bradley Beal is the highest paid player in the NBA. He's trash.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's bad for the product, because even as a fan base, you're watching the NBA, you're like, Bradley Beal is not the first best player on his team. He's not a top 10, 15, 20. You're like, he's not a top 30 player in the NBA, and he's getting paid like he's a top 5 player in the NBA.
30 better players.
And yeah, and like I think that's what you don't want. And I think props to – it's hard to do that. I acknowledge that. It's hard to do that. Because if you look at the Reds – when they were the Redskins, Commanders now, right? They had RG3. He didn't do get his next contract, obviously. But Kirk Cousins did, right? Kirk Cousins, they didn't want to pay him. Because, like, hey, there's a ceiling to what he can do here. Franchise, and they allow him to go into free agency. And that's when he signed that huge deal guaranteed with the Vikings. The Vikings were like, hey, we can't keep doing this. And they went to the draft, and they're trying to, you know – find out if this guy, McCarthy, can be better than Kirk Cousins, right? I think it's a huge risk that you're facing, especially when the guy's still going out there playing and he signs a massive contract. So their careers are going to be, you know, compared with for McCarthy's entire career, right? At least the time Kirk Cousins in the NFL. So I don't know. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, because I'm kind of in defense of the Lions here, and back to the Purdy point in a few minutes here, but I want to focus on here because this is a kind of bigger picture to just the overall QB market that we're facing in the NFL, where we see guys getting paid.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't know if
Sean
I
would Watson
like Baker Mayfield, if he would have went to free agency, like how many teams would have really offered him a contract? You know,
mm-hmm.
but.
It's really hard. Maybe the Vikings, maybe, but We're talking maybes, and these are like 3 out of 10 possible, 30% possible.
And we saw Kirk Cousins go to the free agent market. He's like, he betted on himself, you know, kind of. And he went into and he got the went to the Falcons, got paid $100 million. But what do the Falcons do? They say, hey, hey, we are so unsure that the quarterback position, like, we are so like, we just don't have confidence in the QB position right now in the NFL that we are going to double down on a quarterback. Like, that's what's happening right now with the NFL. And I think teams are just saying, hey, we got to find the next Patrick Mahomes. We got to find the next Patrick Mahomes. That was the whole thing over the past three seasons in the past 3 years in the offseason and the draft. We saw so many Patrick Mahomes comparison. And you kind of noticed that the Patrick Mahomes comparisons kind of stopped, even with Caleb Williams. Like, they just kind of stopped because I think the media and also the team are just realizing, hey, we find a guy that can take us, that can win his divisions, that can take us to the NFC Championship game, a la Jared Goff. We got to hold on to him because it's hard to keep a QB carousel all the time and keep a happy fan base all the time. I think it's easier to manage a fan base that is upset that their team is not getting past the NFC Championship game or divisional round than never making the playoffs. Like, you look at the Cowboys. Cowboys fans, they think they're going to win the Super Bowl every single year. And why is that? Because they're always competitive. They're always making the playoffs. They're always in the hunt to make the playoffs. And if they aren't, they're always around that 500 range, right? Opposed to
– talk about the – can we hold up? Can we
– go ahead.
Just stay on the Cowboys? Because I like what the Cowboys are doing, because they're doing the same thing Kirk Cousins, what the Vikings did. Like, they could have – save themselves a lot of money, right? By signing Dak to an extension, but they're like, hey, there's a ceiling here, and we're not just going to keep paying you because you're the next man up.
Okay, so let's.
And
let's,
I personally love it as a, if I was a Cowboys fan, because
let's stay here. Let's
every
stay
year
here.
He messes up.
What if Dak Prescott? Because you already know this is bound to happen. Dak Prescott starts off the season. I mean, we gotta wait for the schedule to be released, obviously.
But Joseph, I can see them going to the – I can see them going to the NFC Championship game.
Or 10-0.
Yeah.
And then they go 13-4.
Yeah.
And then they make the divisional round. The Cowboys are in a position where they're going to have to pay him the highest-paid quarterback. Like, they're going to have to beat Jared Goff's contract. They just are because of what he's
done in
previous years, right?
Either that or let him walk.
On top of that, what he did this year for you guys – making it to the division round is not an easy task. All because, and we keep on going back to this, like these rookie quarterbacks, are making it seem like it's super easy. We see CJ Stroud, we see Brock Purdy. Like, it's not supposed to be this easy. Like, and I'm gonna steal what you said, like from last episode that we.
But even those guys are too. Go ahead.
No. I'm just saying. We don't want to get into like a deja vu effect where we're just like, oh, like we need this to happen all the time. Or we see a rookie quarterback have success. Oh, we can draft the rookie quarterback. They can emulate that same success over and over again. So
no,
I think the Cowboys are gonna have no choice but to pay Dak if they make it to the playoffs. If they win a playoff game, they're for sure gonna have to play him. I mean, pay him. They are just for sure gonna have to pay him. Otherwise,
well, I think that's what Jerry Jones is counting on. I think Jerry Jones would love it if Dak Prescott went to the NFC Championship game. I don't think he has to win the Super Bowl. Just get to the championship game, and Jerry Jones would be like, okay, cool. Like, this is a guy we can now pay type deal. I think they'll work out with – because they got to pay him, they got to pay Lamb, they got to pay Parsons, right? Like, so yeah. I acknowledge that, right? But I just don't know, man, because you have – I mean, you're one, for example. You criticize Josh Allen. And he does a whole lot more for his team than Jared Goff does for his, or Dak does for his, right? And if you look at the contracts, like, where does he get paid off of what these guys get? It's not the same. But I get it. Like, it just shows you that, I guess, the dollar value doesn't really tell me who's good and who's not. Like, and I think that's what the NBA does somewhat right. Like, we can know, okay, this guy gets paid $40 million a year. He's good, unless he's Bradley Beal or Zach LaVine type deal.
Yeah.
Like,
so let's kind of spin it back a little bit, because I know people don't want to hear about the Cowboys. People hate the Cowboys getting all the
attention. Yeah, that's fine. Me, yeah, us too. I just brought him up the contract
purposes, with the whole Brock Purdy situation. You're now kind of, I mean, Niners can't sign him right now. They can't do anything right now, and so it's
next year, right?
Their season. Wow, but there's some breaking news in the NBA, but we want to talk about the NFL right now. But with the whole Brock Purdy situation, I think there just needs to be some type of discussion. Okay, if Brock Purdy is getting paid, does get a Jared Goff contract, because he's on pace to get a 5-year $285 deal. That's kind of what they're expecting him to make next
Holy
year.
Holy moly.
5-year $285
I get it. He's next up. So, yeah.
When was the last time the Niners had a quarterback to take him to consecutive NFC title games?
I don't know. Did Kaepernick do it?
I don't think Kaepernick but Kaepernick may have done it, but even when Kaepernick did do it, he got that huge contract.
Maybe not, actually, because it was Alex Smith who did it the first year, and then they went back with Kaepernick. They went to the NFC Championship game, right?
They also the Saints, and then the year the Saints lost to the Rams, remember this in that controversial call? I think that was the year that the Niners lost to them. That's a long time ago. But neither here or there, when you find a guy, and Brock Purdy's young, relatively young, 25, 26 years old at that time that he'd be signing that deal next year, you're saying, okay, I have a guy for the next 5 years who gets the system and who at the best can get us to the Super Bowl, right? Like at the best can get us to the Super Bowl because we've seen him do it. So he can do it again, right? And we've seen his ceiling get us to the NFC Championship games in his first two seasons that he started. We've seen him bounce back games. We've seen him, you know, go 21-6 career record. And when you look at his talent, when you look at his skill set, there are tons of limitations that he has. But he makes up those limitations with his ability to think on his feet, like having that Tom Brady says it all the time, anticipation, having that anticipation, like being able to kind of see something before it happens. Brock Purdy does that probably with the best of them in the NFL at throwing the ball. So when you look at it from that perspective, I think Purdy does deserve to get paid. But to your point, to kind of bring an argument against him, I guess, do you think the NFL does create some type of cap level for these
positions?
No. Yeah, I don't think so either. So
they are the ultimate American sport where it's literally capitalism, like at its finest, and supply and demand is super important. I think we saw a whole bunch of backup quarterbacks last year who were trash. And when you're comparing that to, I'm sorry to be rude about those guys. They surely tried their best.
Well, like Joe Flacco.
There was some awful quarterback play last year.
And he was amongst the back. Go ahead.
Yeah, and then before Goff got there, I do think it's important to note that they did have Stafford. And Stafford didn't give them the success that Goff is getting them. So I understand. And plus, you just signed Amon St. Brown. So you probably made some guarantees to him where, hey, this is going to be your quarterback while you're here type deal. Yeah. You know, and they're, I guess, what's the goal? I guess, can he win a Super Bowl? I think that's my thing.
So
I don't think he can. So that's what I'm saying. But at the same time, Joseph, not everyone can. So I understand paying him. When it comes to Purdy, he's going to be the one who's going to really break the bank. Because I think for him too, Joseph, where he's different, and tell me if this is wrong or not, he's a 7th-round pick. So he's not getting paid like first-round or second-round quarterback money. So them giving him this money on a new deal is saying, hey, thanks for being our starting quarterback for the past few years too. And I don't know if that's how you do business or not, but it's going to be interesting. I'll give you that. And I hope he gets it, because the Niners, I think they do have a solid quarterback. He's really good. I can give him that.
So, yeah, and that was going to be my question, is like, what if like they don't, like, what if the Niners have a year where they make the playoffs but they lose him in the first round type of thing. Like, does he still get that contract where he's the highest paid quarterback, or did he get like a 3-year, $100 million contract?
I mean, we should spend a whole episode on the what if the Niners do that, because I think at that
I mean,
time you do got to blow it up.
it's very
Right?
possible
Like
that
Debo.
happened.
They talked about trading Debo and Brandon Ayuk this year, and
So
they
let's talk
drafted a
about
wide
this.
receiver in the first round. McCaffrey's gonna be 29.
Yeah, let's
Like, so
do this.
like Kittle's old. Like they're gonna
Well,
rethink some things.
like, do we see the Niners making it past the first round next?
Oh, I do.
I mean, yeah, but let's say hypothetically, let's say they don't. Let's say the Niners make the playoffs but lose in the first round. Or yeah, let's just do that.
Yeah,
Losing the,
let's say the Cowboys beat them in the wild card,
I mean,
right? That's a realistic possibility.
listen, Niner fans, you guys know that that would never happen. We own the
Well,
Cowboys,
no, but but they beat them like a
but
hundred
if
straight times.
scenarios,
Eventually, every dog has his
yeah.
day. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. I'm just.
No. So if that does happen, what happens? Because then you have that type of domino effect you're talking about, where
Yeah.
we got to pay Brandon Ayuk. Oh, what are we gonna do with Debo? Debo's contract is pretty much, we can get rid of it, you know, next offseason. Trent Williams, is he gonna is he is Trent Williams gonna come back? Is he gonna retire? All right, because he's getting old, right? What is McCaffrey? What are we gonna do with McCaffrey? Because we're gonna have to extend McCaffrey next offseason as well. George Kittle, we're probably gonna move off of George Kittle if that does happen, because he's been hurt. He gets too many injuries. Okay, so where does that leave Brock Purdy?
But these
Okay.
guys just—they seem like lifers, though, for me.
They do.
Like that's
This is why this scenario is so hard to predict.
yeah.
But it's also one of those things where I kind of want to discuss, like, this can't happen because this is the NFL. We've seen it happen before, right? We've seen
Yeah.
it with Aaron Rodgers his final season in Green Bay, where, I mean, he looked like the man the past few seasons, and then his last year he kind of took a down spiral, and they didn't make the playoffs, and
Well, they had
that kind
drafted
of.
Love, so that was
Well,
like.
I'm just talking about just like the unexpected happening in the NFL. Like, no, I mean, come on, now, you would not have said that the Packers were gonna lose to the Lions in the last game to make the playoffs. You just wouldn't have predicted that.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'm saying, Joseph's like, if you look at this Niners roster, there's not a player who I wouldn't expect. Like,
You
if
wouldn't expect.
Deebo Samuels got traded, I would be shocked. Brandon Ayuk got traded, I'd probably be less shocked. I know people are like, hey, after the draft, Debo's the one to go based off who they got. But for me, I think Purcell, I don't know, I just feel like it's more of a Brandon Ayuk type, hey, this is a receiver here versus a gadget guy like Debo is. For me, that's just how I envision it. I'm sure I'm probably wrong, but so I don't know. It's hard. Who would they move off of if they want to save some money? I would probably think they'd get
I
rid of
mean, for
somebody on the
sure.
defense
So I'm
versus
gonna
getting rid of all these offensive guys that Shanahan's in love with. Like, I feel
so
like Kittle's gonna be at Shanahan. I don't know if Shanahan has children, but if Shanahan's children has a wedding, I think Brock Purdy's there. I think Debo's there. McCaffrey's for sure there. Kittle's there. Like, I think all these guys are closer than just a football team.
Hargrave,
And,
I think
right?
Hargrave's probably the probably get
Those
rid
are,
of Hargrave. They'll probably get rid of
I think
Hargrave.
those are the guys who, I think those are the
Hargrave's
guys
probably
who,
get. Hargrave is most likely gone next year.
like,
Just looking at their cap history right now for the new year. Eric Armstead, he's most likely. Oh, he's on the. I'm sorry, I'm tripping. He's on the Jaguars. They
he's
got rid
already gone. Yeah.
of.
Like, that's why I think that's where they would go.
Yeah, I more align to what you're saying. Where like Kittle, Debo, the people that keep that locomotive going. Those are the people that are going to be more inclined to stay. The people are just kind of there, but they're kind of just filling up the coal. You know, those are the people that are going to be gone. Like Hargrave, most likely going to be gone. Fred Warner is not going nowhere. I Trent Williams, he's going to be 37 next year. Like, can we talk about that? Like, how long is this guy going to play for at a number one rated PFF tackle, you know, level? Like, how long does he have? Because I mean, he's legit the best left tackle in the game right now that exists in the NFL.
Well, he
And
signed through 2027, so
yeah,
he ain't going
that's what I was
nowhere.
going to get to. He sounds like he's 40 years old nearly.
Yeah,
And
but
when
tackles
look,
do that, Joseph.
we've seen tackles, you know, do that for a long time. We've seen Orlando Pace play till he's 38. We've seen Brown from the Ravens back in the day played till he was 30 in his late 30s. So we've seen Jason Peters do it. The guy on the Niners, Tyron Smith, you know, so we've seen it happen before, but this is his level of play is not where they were at their age. It just wasn't. This guy, Trent Williams, is one of the best players in the NFL, just players. So when you look at it from that perspective, there's just a lot of different things that the Niners can do here where it's just like this season it doesn't have the last dance type of feel to it. That's more of the following year, the 2025 year, where a lot of players are on their last deals. But this could be a precursor to that, like saying like, okay, this is like kind of like Debo. I think Debo is either going to get a restructured deal next year or he's going to be gone. Like there's no way they're going to go into the new year with a what is this, a 15? I guess. A $24 million cap hit, there's just no way that that's going to happen the following year in 2025 because they're going to have to pay Ayuk. Ayuk's cap hit is going to be probably that amount or most likely more than that. And then, you know, you factor in Kittle's, there's just too many things in the way where you're just like, all right, who's really.
Well, they don't have to pay Purdy until 26.
Yeah, but Purdy's going to, I mean, come on, Zachary. Purdy's going to want to get paid, though.
But I don't know if they can based off. Let me see.
So I think what can happen is, and we're not cap experts. So if you're a cap expert and you're in the comments looking at this, please explain. But what I think they can pay him, but his contract won't start until that 26 season, right? Because his contract is still he's still getting paid up until I want to say 2026. I'm 2025.
Okay, so at the end of this year, Purdy's eligible for an extension.
Yeah,
so they can talk to him then.
So, but what I'm saying is, they're gonna give him a. I mean, come on, Zach. They're gonna give him a signing bonus.
He's gonna get a massive deal. So I think you're $60 million a year. Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. They're gonna have to have at least $100 million in cash to get to this guy that's gonna hit his account, and that's minimum. So to get that, they're gonna have to get rid of some of these guys. I think.
Now the crazy thing is though. I know we're talking, hey, these are high numbers and everything, but if you're John Lynch, GM, helping to make this contract happen, right? Would you go into the room? I mean, I feel like you got to have a calculator or something, you know, some type of discussion with him. Hey, if we pay you this money, just know you're not going to be handing off the ball to McCaffrey. You're going to be handing off the ball to a third round rookie running back. These are the guys we're looking at. Hey, if we pay you this money, you're not going to have Debo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk and Ricky Purcell. One of them's got to go. And this is what we're thinking. Like, it's got to be. I know it's like not supposed to. Dollars don't affect that. But I mean, it's got to. And he couldn't win Super Bowl with these guys in their prime. This is
my thing with Purdy. I think Purdy is that.
If they win a Super Bowl this year, Joseph, it makes sense.
Purdy is that guy who's going to take a hometown discount. I just know it. Like he's not going to be that guy that's going to be like, oh, I want to be the highest paid player. Like to me,
well, I don't think if you pay him the highest paid, if we say, hey, you're no longer having Christian McCaffrey, you have a third round rookie. Do you feel the same way about Brock Purdy?
No, I would not. As a fan, I would not. I would say that this guy is going to be at best seven, eight wins by himself. Like at best.
Hold on. We might hold you to this. So let's calm down a little bit.
No.
You're saying Brock Purdy just alone when he starts, he's good for 8 wins. Book him in for 8 wins.
Yeah, I would say that. Yeah.
All right, we got to do a list of wins list because I'm curious where the heck you rank these other guys.
Wait, is that a bad thing or is that a good thing? I mean, Jared Goff by himself, I think he gets. I mean, we could look at Jared Goff, what he did without. I mean, his first few years in on the Lions, he did what, 3 games, maybe 4 games, and then that following year he had like 7 games, 8 games. So I mean, I think if you take out Debo, if you take out Kittle, if you take out McCaffrey, but you still give him Ayuk, you still give him some well
Because how
respect.
many wins they have last year?
Niners, I think they won
What, 13?
12 or 13
12?
games.
Okay. Whatever it was last year. Like half of those, McCaffrey's good for six of those wins for you. And then Debo,
My
I'll
thing is,
give Debo a couple wins. Like, I don't think Purdy's as good as you're saying he is, but that's just me.
and well, okay,
That's what I'm saying.
so can you tell me why though? Why is that the case? Why do you think Purdy's
Because
not
I
good?
watched the games. Did you watch him versus, was it Chicago? Was it Chicago? It was the one with the rain. It was raining really bad.
That was Chicago. That was the game
And
early
he
in the
did.
season where the rookie missed the field goal, and I kind of
Okay.
started to speak.
And then if you go, and then I remember him in Minnesota.
He looked bad. Defense also looked bad,
Like,
but he looked bad.
we're strictly talking Purdy here. We're not talking to anyone else.
The Ravens game, he
Like,
looked
it's just, come
just made a
on.
lot of bad plays.
Oh,
That's what,
that was awful.
but no, he the Ravens game, he I mean, statistically, he had a good game. It's just he made a lot. He made
He
more
threw, did
bad
he throw
plays.
like three interceptions?
Yeah, he threw like two pick sixes that game too.
Like, what are you talking about? He had a good stat
Four
game.
interceptions.
Like,
Four
let's
interceptions that
calm
game.
down. Like, you overreact.
255. But I don't know. I've seen him.
Purdy,
Give me the.
Purdy.
I've seen. We saw Jimmy G, what Jimmy G did.
Yeah, exactly. He did the same thing that Purdy's doing.
So you're saying Jimmy G's on the same level as Purdy?
Yeah.
I don't think so, man.
Yeah,
I
and we saw when Purdy went to the Raiders, and what did he do? What did he do
because
in the Raiders?
Jimmy G didn't come back from games like Purdy does. Purdy came back from two deficits in the playoffs. Two deficits in the playoffs this playoffs. Against the
Jimmy G
Pack,
never coming back?
against the Lions.
Jimmy G never came back? Jimmy G had to come back before. They went to
I
Super
can't
Bowl.
recall.
Didn't they go to Super Bowl with him? There's no way. Like, they went to Super Bowl. They won a bunch of playoff games.
The
They're in
only
the
game
NFC
I
Championship
remember them
every
coming back,
year
the only
with
game I
Jimmy
remember them
G.
coming back
Okay, so
in,
yeah, I thought he did.
the only game I remember them coming back in was the Green Bay Packers game.
They're the same player, dude.
But it was off of a block punt. Like that was one of
It's
my
the
Jimmy
same. It's he
G's
They're the
not the
same
same player
guys.
as Brock Purdy though.
They're the same guys.
Brock Purdy is a better player than Jimmy G. We've seen it,
So,
exactly.
okay, how
You can't
far
tell me
did he
that.
go? Actually, Purdy might actually Jimmy G might be better. I think that's probably a better argument because he went up against Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, all in their prime, and he had a lead in that game. If not for his coach like mishandling the play calling, like Jimmy G wins that game versus an elite Kansas City Chiefs. Brock Purdy played a down Kansas City Chiefs without Tyreek Hill. Travis Kelce, who's seen better days, their best receiver was a rookie, Rashee Rice, and he lost that game. So,
Because
I mean,
I mean, come on. I mean,
like, I'm no,
you could put that loss on
it's so
coaching.
weird.
You could put that you could put the loss on a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
Steve
put it on Purdy.
blitzing every single play. I mean, come
Win the
on.
game, Purdy.
I mean, come on, Zachary. That game was more on Steve Wilks than it was
They
on.
were closer to winning a Super Bowl with Jimmy G than they were with Brock
And
Purdy.
also, they missed a
I
block.
said it.
They missed a block. So I
And
mean, there was a.
yeah.
I
You
think
know
when
why?
he.
Because Jimmy G has his guys focused, and they would not have allowed that.
I think what my thing is with Jimmy, with the Purdy argument, and this is where we can kind of end the conversation because it looks like we're gonna agree to disagree. But my thing is this: Purdy has proven that he can go up against good talent and compete with the good talent. He competed with Patrick Mahomes. He competed with the guy from the Lions, Jared Goff. He competed with Jordan Love. So he competes against who he plays with, who he goes up against.
And so
And
did Jimmy. I'm just saying, man.
it's no, Jimmy G didn't, because Jimmy G had a lot more mistakes than Purdy is.
He
I mean,
beat
you can look
Cousins.
back at it and
I'm
say,
looking at the
no.
quarterbacks. I'm looking at you're like he beat elite quarterbacks. Cool. My guy, Jimmy G, he beat Kirk Cousins. He beat Aaron Rodgers. Who
Hey,
else is on
so
here?
okay, so those Niner games against the
Dak.
games, those.
Another
That
Aaron
was more
Rodgers.
coaching. That was more coaching. That was more team level wins versus Jimmy G winning. I'm just being honest.
I think you're trying to be a hater here on
I
Jimmy
would even
G.
say the Brock Purdy win against the Packers this playoffs time was more coaching than than Purdy. I would just put now the Purdy Lions comeback, that was an all time comeback. And the reason why I think you're disrespectful.
Was that more about Purdy, or was that more about terrible coaching by the Lions?
I think it was more about Purdy. Because you have to execute.
The dude went for it on fourth down every chance. If he kicked some field
execute.
Goals, they wouldn't
You have
win.
To execute. You have to execute.
Nah, man, you can't you do that.
Football is a game of execution.
You're over here.
Let me bring up this final point.
Yeah, bring up some final points because you're lying.
If you talk to Niner fans, talk to old guys, like people who've been watching football for the past like 40 years, longer than us, 50 years, they tell you that Purdy reminds them of who? The one and only Joe Montana. Like,
yeah,
that's what
because they're
people
drunk.
Say. People say that. And it's not me saying that. Like, I can't say that and be confident in my statement because I've never watched Montana play live. Like, I've seen highlights, and Montana's the GOAT, one of the GOATs. But, like, I can't say, oh, he is as good as Joe Montana because I never watched him play. So I just can't. But what I can say is people have been comparing this guy to Joe Montana because – he's done so many things that are Joe Montana like the comebacks, the fourth down conversions, the third down conversions, the third and 20 conversions. Purdy does a lot more than what you're giving him credit for. Only losing six games in two seasons is remarkable. I mean, it just is. So when you look at it from that perspective, Purdy is going to be the highest paid quarterback, whether you like it or not. The only thing is, will Purdy want to be that, like to our point earlier? Or is he going to want to make it so it's financially smart for him not to be the highest paid player?
I don't know. Well, I think what we have to acknowledge, Joseph, and I think what you're failing to realize, when you overhype a player like you're doing for Purdy, I think you're really, really doing a disservice because you're supposed to be a Niner fan. If you're a true Niner fan, and I can tell you aren't, you don't know the history. Kyle Shanahan, when he got there, he was trash. Like, let's say what it is.
That's why I'm saying. That's my point.
I'm getting somewhere, Joseph. I let you talk. Let me talk. Then Tom Brady went to his owner, and he said, get this guy off the team. The owner calls him. Bill says, get this guy off the team. Bill says, you know what? I'll get him off the team, but I'm going to trade him to my friend Kyle. He calls up Kyle and John and says, hey, you guys want this guy? Just give us a second. You'll be fine. Trust me. It's a great deal for you. They trade him, and Kyle Shanahan has been looking like a Hall of Fame coach ever since that man started. They went from a trash can, the bottom seller in the draft, to hey, who's going to be our quarterback, to starting Jimmy G, and they ended up going to the Super Bowl. They ended up going to the NFC Championship game every other year type deal, and we're seeing similar success, man, and it's probably because these guys aren't like trash at quarterbacks. They're mediocre, slightly above average sometimes. But it works for when you have all that talent. When you take that talent away and you put Jimmy G with the Raiders, where you don't have Christian McCaffrey, where you don't have a Deebo Samuel and a Brandon Ayuk, you don't have a Kittle, he gets benched.
So
he gets benched.
I totally understand.
And not, like,
okay. I totally agree. I get where you're coming from. I acknowledge it. But there's a asterisk that you didn't mention. And that is, Jimmy G was not Kyle Shanahan's choice. He was not. He didn't say, oh, I want Kyle Shanahan.
Neither did Brock Purdy.
What happened was.
Hold on. Brock Purdy was?
No, Brock Purdy was.
Okay.
Purdy was an accident.
Because keep in mind, they traded a second round pick for Jimmy Garoppolo, Joseph. They drafted Purdy in the seventh round. They didn't know that guy was going to be good. They thought he was going to be trash. They drafted him in the seventh round.
Yeah, but we're talking about the QB history.
Why do you change narratives, man?
No, you brought up, I didn't know about the QB history of the 49ers. So I'm bringing up.
Yeah, tell the truth.
Because they wanted Kirk Cousins to begin with, but they didn't get him because they panicked and they traded for Jimmy G midway through the season when he started off like 0-10 or something like that. So I think there is a lot more to say on what Jimmy G did versus what Kyle Shanahan wanted. Kyle Shanahan, remember, they had the number 2 overall pick that year that he became the coach. He didn't draft a quarterback.
Oh, it's when they had Bosa.
Yeah, when they got Nick Bosa, yeah. But they didn't draft the quarterback. They could have. They should have. But he decided to go all in and wait for Kirk Cousins. Then the following year happened, and he was probably getting pressure from Jay York saying, hey, man, we're 0-10 or 0-9, whatever the case may be. We need to get some wins. Patriots are they got Jimmy G on the block. Let's go ahead and trade for him. They trade for Jimmy G. Kyle Shanahan, under duress, keeps Jimmy G. Jimmy G ends up doing well and kind of destroys his plans of getting Kirk Cousins. Then we see the downside of Jimmy G in later years as they make it to the Super Bowl, they make it to the NFC Championship game, they make it to the playoffs consistently. And then what does Kyle Shanahan do? He says, okay, we need a real quarterback in here. So let's draft Trey Lance. But you know what? That does not go well. Apparently, this has yet to be kind of like 100% proven, but Mac Jones was the guy that Kyle Shanahan wanted.
And that's another thing.
This
the
was
lies
something
that come out of that city. That's why I can't be a Niner fan, dude. The lies that come out of that city.
What, the Mac Jones? I mean, no.
Because somebody went – no, somebody Kyle went Shanahan's on TV. Lips. Chris Sims. He's Kyle Shanahan's good friend. He went on TV talking about Ricky Pearsall was the guy that Kyle wanted. You know why? Because Kyle Shanahan has final decision on who they draft. So which one is it, Joseph?
Is it the fact that Kyle Shanahan has final decision?
So I don't or did he really want –
I don't necessarily agree. That could have changed since Adam Peters has left. Because Adam Peters left, so that could have changed. Adam Peters is gone, so he because the way that the Trey Lynch situation went down was that Adam Peters, John Lynch, and all these other guys in the organization wanted Trey Lance. Kyle Shanahan and some other guys were like, "No, we need Mac Jones."
You don't know that. You just hear all the lies.
This is from local media. This is from the guys that are on the ground. Boots on the ground with Kyle Shanahan that has talked to
believe
Kyle.
Lies, yeah, believe the lies if you want.
So, with that being said, when you look at it from that perspective, you have to look at it from a full level and see, like, hey, this is actually, I will say to your point, this is an accident that happened. This is Brock Purdy was not supposed to be the quarterback of the Niners' future, he just wasn't. As a Niners fan, I can admit that, but you have him now, right? You can you have him now, and I think the positive side of it is that maybe Kyle Shanahan didn't want it this way. Maybe this is not how he planned, but that's not how things go. You think the Patriots are like, oh, Tom Brady's gonna be our franchise quarterback? Like you think? Exactly. Come on, like come on. The Patriots did not think that a 6th round pick got around a 4-9-6 was gonna be their franchise quarterback.
I'll tell you this, Joseph, and I honestly genuinely mean this. I mean this, Joseph, with the passion. I think that Belichick thought more of Tom Brady than Kyle Shanahan thought of Brock Purdy when they drafted him.
But so shout out to dang, I can't think of his name. Peter King. Shout out to Peter King.
And keep in mind, Tom Brady, he what'd you call it? What's his name? Belichick. He made a huge, 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 huge risk. Way more of a risk than benching the number 2 overall pick. He benched the number 1 overall quarterback, number 1 overall pick for the New England Patriots. He went to the Super Bowl. He ended up losing the Super Bowl, but he got the Super Bowl. Number 1 pick. Highest paid quarterback in the NFL. That's who Brady beat out. Like, so don't give me that crap about how
No. We're just talking about the drafting spot because I'm just saying nobody – Belichick didn't draft Brady thinking that he was going to be a Tom Brady, a 7-time Super Bowl winning champion.
Oh, no. Heck no. There's no way.
So when you draft these guys, you're not thinking that, oh, Purdy's going to be our guy if Trey Lance doesn't work out. Like, that's not what he's thinking. He's not thinking that. I know that for a fact he's not thinking that.
Well, so they would have drafted him earlier. That's all
yeah,
I'm saying.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
They went to the last pick of the draft.
So these guys are just like, at the end of the day, football, I guess what we're saying is to kind of spin it all around.
And I think being lucky is good. I'm not criticizing that. But let's just not lie about the narratives. Tell the truth. We lucked into this.
No, same way,
I'll give you this. Like, you see the guy in my background, Andy Reid. Do I think Andy Reid thought that he would go from, hey, he's a coach that we respect. He's fun to play with, but he's not a winner. Like, that's what Andy Reid was. Do I think when he drafted Patrick Mahomes, he thought, hey, this is going to cement me as maybe the greatest quarterback, the greatest coach of all time. No way. I understand that you get lucky with this stuff. Like, but tell the truth about it. That's all I'm saying.
So what are we saying in regards to Brock Purdy? I guess to kind of sum up
if I was going to say, in short, Joseph, I understand if Brock Purdy gets paid based off what you described and laid out. I think it's perfect, right? Like, he's led a team to a Super Bowl. They're always winning. It seems like even when they lose, it's heck of weird. It's a shock. I totally agree, right? Like, he's that good. My only pushback is, and I'm saying the same thing for Jared Goff, but I think the expectations for the Lions should be a lot less than the Niners.
Yeah, no, I agree.
The Niners tell me that, you know, they're Niner Nation. They're about championships, even though they haven't won since the 90s. But whatever. There's a ceiling to what he could do by himself. And before I pay him, like, I would hope I get off to like a 10-0, 11-0 start. And what I want to do is I want to sit CMC. Yeah, this year, if I'm the Niners, get off to a hot start. Let me sit CMC. Let me sit Debo. Sit Brandon Ayuk. I want to see what he can do by himself before I pay this guy a whole bunch of money. Because I don't personally, I think he'll learn if he hasn't already. I need someone who I could throw a 2-yard pass to and who can take it for 70 in Debo. I need Christian McCaffrey, just the threat of the play action. And the same thing to Brandon Ayuk. I don't think Brandon Ayuk's all that great. Like, in, I think he's a great player. That's probably disrespectful. Yeah. I don't think he's like a top 5, top 10 wide receiver. I don't personally. But I think he needs Christian McCaffrey. That pump fake, you think a cornerback is like, oh crap, is it a runner pass? Like, the safeties can't do anything because they're worried about the play action game. And then while your eyes are in the backfield, Ayuk runs his little he runs one route. It's across the middle of the field. Whether he's coming from the left to the right or the right to the left. Don't listen to this, okay? It's not going to be good for you. So while that crossing route is open because of guys like we mentioned, Christian McCaffrey and Kittle. Like, there's...
So my summary, I think I've summed it up in the beginning. I'm not going to go over it again for a conclusion.
Go over it again, please.
But I'm just saying, Brock Purdy is a guy that we have seen. We know how hard it is to win the NFL. We just do. The NFL is the biggest league in the NFL, in the world, and it has the most parity in it for a reason. Because it's so hard. 53-man rosters, 32 teams. You know, it's just the toughest team sport to win in. So when you look at it from that perspective, when you find your guy, you have to pay him, and you have to show him that you pay him. Because reassurance, I guess, for lack of better words, it just makes it so you're not playing for money anymore. And not to say Purdy is a guy that's only playing for money, because I don't think that's the case. I mean, if that was the case, then his play would be a lot worse than what it is. But I think Purdy, at the end of the day, is a guy that has proven that you can win with him in the locker room. Now, yeah, that may come with some asterisks. Like, hey, you know what? You need to give me a receiver in round one. You need to give me the best left tackle in the game. You need to give me the best running back in the game. You need to give me a top 10, top 5 defense in the game. Like, you need to give me one of the best head coaches in the game. Like, so you need to give me these 5 key factors, and I will get you to NFC Championship game at minimum. That's what he has proven so far.
Mm-hmm.
In his time, not getting paid. You know, getting paid whenever he's getting paid, you know?
Yeah.
So when you sum up that, they say, okay, kind of reason it out, you know, you get your calculator out saying, like, hey, you know what? Okay, let's pay Purdy the $50 million. Is he really going to – because, I mean, one thing we didn't talk about is the salary cap increasing and how much it increased this year in terms of the percentage of how much –
I don't mean to interrupt.
No. I'm just saying, like, how much the quarterback salary is getting larger, but so is the salary cap for the NFL teams. So him getting paid $53 million is not the same as him getting paid $53 million. You know, even last year, I mean, the salary cap, I think, rose by like
$50 million. Sorry, I got to interrupt, man. I don't think you should do deals based off, hey, the salary cap may or may not increase.
I mean, that's what the NBA did. I mean,
yeah, and then look at all the mistakes out there. Zach LaVine's balling. He's paid more than LeBron. And you're like, that dude, come on. Sorry, Zach LaVine.
No, I mean, you bring up a good
Bradley Beal.
So I just want to
Rudy Gobert.
So I just
want to pay $47 million to get thrown on his butt by Jokic. So, but hey, if the Niners do it, what you're hoping to though, Joseph, is Purdy, and he's done. He's been a real grown up in the room. Yeah, I think you got to acknowledge that too. And he's gotten better, right? Like I think he gets better each game. It shows. Or if he does kind of have a Vikings game, he doesn't. It doesn't like linger into other games. It seems like he kind of lets it go 3-4 bad games, like he did Browns, Vikings, and then he comes back.
Sorry, I'm just trying to. So when you look at it from like the salary cap angle, right? So this salary cap is going to be $255 million this year, right? Next year, this is an estimate. It's going to be 273, so it's going to go up by, you know, such and such number, right? Niners, if you look at it, Niners are already over their cap, so I'm not going to go into detail about that. But I'm just talking about just Brock Purdy's salary, right? Once it hits the pocket, it's going to be at this term, I mean, 2026, right? It's estimated that's going to be $292 million. Most likely, it's going to be $300 million in cap space. But
Be 280. Then what do you do?
No, it's not going to be 280. There's no way. Look how much the salary cap has increased, Zachary.
We don't know.
255 to 2. No, because we do know. Because we know that the NFL TV revenue is not going to go down. It's going to go up. Like
these. Yeah, but you don't. What if it's another pandemic
Amazon,
or something?
Amazon's going to not. I mean, Amazon's going to continue to pay us. Pay the NFL. The partnerships are going to go up. Ticket sales are going to go up. Like. NFL is not seeing a decrease in salary cap in terms of the percentage going up. It's just not going to happen.
When's the last time? Can you do this for me? When's the last time there was a decrease?
Probably be the lockout year.
Can you go through the list and see, right?
Let's see. I'm just trying to find the year so I won't be like,
what? Oh, I can do it. I found your site. So 2020 to 2021, it was the COVID year.
Oh, but yeah, well, there was a lockout year in 2011, right? And the salary cap only went up it went up $225,000. So this year, right here, let me share my screen real quick. You want to share your screen? I'll share my
screen. No, I'm good.
So, yeah, like this year, right here, this was the lockout season, but right here, it went from 123.75. To 126.00. I think this was a locker year, but I'm not positive. But to your point,
To your point though, Joseph, it went up like at least 12. I saw.
Yeah, but So the COVID year, you said. Oh, but yeah, okay. I see what you're saying. You said it decreased by 16 million, but then it went back up by 20 million. Yeah, so I think personally, I just feel like it's not gonna matter too much in terms of just. Let me just stop sharing the screen, but it's not gonna matter too much. In terms of how much money Purdy's getting paid, because what's going to happen is obviously money's going to come off the books from other guys. But what's going to happen is, I mean, is Debo going to be worth, you know, paying him $30 million a year? No, he's
not. Salary cap's going up, so you can afford it.
Yeah, but I mean, come on, let's take into account what Debo does, right? So I don't know. There's just a lot of stuff that we got to talk about as the season progresses. Hope you guys enjoyed this conversation. Purdy, you know, what do you guys think? Like, will Purdy, like, most likely, Purdy's going to be the highest pick quarterback in the NFL next year. He just is, right? So, with that being said, do you guys agree with that? Niner fans, do you guys like that? I mean, because if you do, drop it down in the comments. Let us know. Do you have anything else to talk about today, Zachary?
That's it.
Just football. All right. Thank you guys for tuning in. As always, please like, subscribe, and share. And thank you so much for tuning in. See you guys next time.